Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello, beautiful listeners. Pretty happy about today because we have Mary Perro as our featured guest. And some of you have heard her already when she's filled in when I haven't been here, and she and Cheryl have had some fabulous conversations. Mary, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's just a natural for you to be here. So we decided when Cheryl and I were talking about you that we want to know more about you. Mm. I made Cheryl do an interview with me after she did an interview.
You with you.
Yes.
I can
and Jasmine
help.
but Jasmine was still here. So it was you and Jasmine interviewing me. And then when Jasmine left, I thought, okay, Cheryl.
Now, yeah, hot
so
seat.
It's only fair for Mary to have her opportunity. That's what we decided. Okay. So Mary, we would love to know, first of all, like, where did you grow up? And the little background is that Cheryl introduced me to you. So we both know you a bit, but mm-hmm. we want to know you more. So mm-hmm. start there with the growing up years.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Orange County, was born and raised in the same house that my mom still lives in.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
She still lives in Orange. And I mean, I had a great childhood. I have an older brother, a younger sister. We went to church on Sundays. You know, we prayed before meals, but I never really thought of walking with the Lord as something personal. Mm. The idea, I think, of like walking with the Lord was not something I'd ever heard. When I was, we were going to church, of course, in my childhood, but when I want to say I was probably in the third or fourth grade, we started going to, I can only think of the name, Dr. Robert Schuller's church.
Oh, right, right. Crystal Cathedral. Cathedral, right.
I was thinking Our Power, the radio program.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
That's not it.
Or Turn Your Church, so, Scars into Stars.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
So we were part of that church, and we went there actually because they were starting a new children's choir. And I was part of this children's choir. My sister and I, we toured over the United States. We sang in the White House, you know, just
okay, that is
up.
Impressive.
Fun.
I like
yeah.
that.
That's just what we.
Okay, wait, who is the president?
The president, if I recall correctly, my memory is not great, but okay. if I recall correctly, it was the younger of George W. Bush.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Because I remember, like, Clinton was right after him. I'm disclosing to everyone how bad I am
now
at history right now.
So ages. Yes.
Pray for me, everybody. But there you go. So we were there, and there was a president. What I remember, let me say this, what I remember was the sitting president was getting ready to change out because it was Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So it was like the next president had been elected already, mm-hmm. and we didn't get to meet the president or anyone else, which would explain why I don't remember who it was.
But it's also, still a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Right.
And I was in ninth grade, and I probably didn't care who the president was. What we remember was that his dog was still there, and we heard the dog barking. So anyways. That was mostly my childhood.
I think that's a 14-year-old's remembrance.
Right.
Definitely.
I remember the blue taffeta dress that was like, I was not happy about it. I didn't think it was my colors. So, you know, priorities.
Yes.
But when I was in junior in high school, my dad said, you know, I've heard about this church, and we had just been kind of looking for a new church for a while. And so we're going to go there. And it was Pastor Chuck Smith.
I like that guy.
You know, I knew nothing about him at the time. Mm-hmm. I remember Chuck Smith, and in my mind, I was just seeing the image of Chuck Norris, and I was
wow, that would be
that
much
guy
different.
Has a church?
Yes.
That wasn't the experience we had. We came over in when I was in 11th grade, but Pastor Chuck, and I remember, I mean, it was a few years, of course, I was in high school, but that was really a transformative experience mm-hmm. for me. I really came to faith, personal faith here at mm-hmm. Calvary, Costa Mesa. I remember I had walked away from the Lord for, I mean, it's, you know, I think for a lot of kids, this might be a similar experience where I still believed, but it wasn't personal. And I went through a season where I'd had some heartbreak and some heartache. And it was like, well, there's Jesus over here and there's me over here. I don't get how this, people will say Jesus helps you or what have you, but I don't get how these two go together. And so I was just kind of living my own life, really hurting. And I remember coming to church on Sunday mornings. And as so many people have shared the same story, you know, your dad would be preaching Cheryl. And it was like he was like looking just at me. You know, I was probably a freshman in college going to Cal State Fullerton here. And it just was like slowly but surely started changing my heart. And then, you know, as the Lord would have it, started serving here in the college and career at the time.
Okay, who was the pastor then?
Well, when I started going the very first time, was it Terry Walker with the very,
beginning?
But I only went once or twice when he was there. So this was all around the same time where it was kind of in and out. And then after that was Bob Millspaugh.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So I came back and started really going when Bob was there.
Right.
And,
was in the 2000s.
I couldn't tell
Early
you.
Early 2000s. Yeah, I do. I know because we were in England when it was Terry Walker and we came back and it was already Bob Millspaugh. It was the 2000s.
And I can remember some of our missionaries now, Daniel Carter, who was in Ukraine for a long time, his wife Jeanette. We met there. A lot of other people met there. I remember them, you know, maybe after we'd have the service on whatever evening, they'd say, we're going to Triangle School. Square, and they'd be like, you know, we're going to pray together. This stuff was all new to me. Like, we're going to hold hands and pray in public, you know? Yeah. And remember how you would like squeeze the person's hand when it was time to pass it on. And then I'd, you know, just quickly squeeze the next person because I wasn't sure. But the Lord is really doing something in my life. People started telling me, hey, you should be singing. You should be up front singing. And Bob invited me to sing with him one day, and the rest is kind of history. I've been leading worship ever since.
So did you already know how to play the guitar then, or did you?
No, I did not.
See, this is important.
Yeah, so I grew up as a classically trained pianist. So the choir thing, the
singing. That's another thing we just learned, right?
Yeah, I know.
This
and
choir.
I have heard Mary sing.
Uh-huh.
And this is a gift
that
God's given her.
So cool.
So I, even though I grew up singing in choir, I did not think of myself as a singer, which I know might sound strange. I remember my choir teacher telling me, like, Mary, sing loud enough that everyone in your section can hear you. Because I was on the right note.
You're helping him out.
Yeah. But don't sing loud enough that we can hear you. But, you know, as a kid, I interpreted that to be like, you don't have a great voice. So, you know, I was classically trained pianist. That's what I thought my whole life was going to be about.
But let me add here that Mary and I, I'm going to jump ahead and then we'll come back. But Mary and I were at a writer's conference at Mount Hermon 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And our music was provided by Todd Tigman,
yes.
I can't say it, who had won The Voice. And so everyone was so excited that Todd was going to lead us. And one of the evenings, Mary and I saw this campfire was going and everyone was sitting around singing and Todd was leading with the guitar. And Mary and I stepped up just to the side. We were on the outside and we just joined in and we're just singing and worshiping. Todd stopped and he goes, Robin, is that you? And I go, what? What did I do? And he goes, singing. And I go, oh, no, that's Mary. And he goes, Mary, come up here. And then since then, they were like, we discovered our next worship leader.
Cool.
Yeah. Just definitely a gift. Please go back.
Well, and it is a gift. I totally agree. I mean, I feel like that sounds funny, me saying it, but I'll share this story. I grew up as a classically trained pianist, and I really thought that was my whole life was going to be about. And that was part of me struggling with the Lord was at some point I had heard, you know, my piano teacher basically told me I was never going to be good enough. Mm. And of course, I had no concept. Like, I truly, you know, I didn't know who the president was, and I also didn't know, like, what does a classically trained pianist do? I don't know, but I'm going to be one, you know? I was already teaching piano to other kids, so it's not like I wasn't a good pianist. I was, you know, I was making a pretty good living for a teenager, you know, driving around Orange County. But I went off to college and still tried to kind of pursue that classical dream. Well, right around that time, my first few years of college was when the Lord was really getting a hold of me, and I was singing more at various places. My boyfriend and I at the time were leading worship at a small group. It was my first time in a small group. You know, I almost was like, is this a cult? You know, it was one of Calvary's small groups. My boyfriend ends up breaking up with me, and the group was like, well, what are we going to do for music? Because he would play guitar and I would sing, and I was just broken up with. I don't know what we're going to do for music. But I had just asked my parents for a guitar, and I had just started taking a guitar class at college. I knew this is a honest to God truth. The Holy Spirit is my witness. And the six people that were in this Bible study with me, I knew four chords. And so I was like, you guys, I can hold a tune, but I don't sound good. I knew that from choir. And I definitely can't play guitar, but I've got one. I came. Jesus. Remember this song?
Yeah.
Jesus.
That was written by Debbie Kerner. Yeah. I remember. You know, because I remember I could play 10 chords, right?
Well, you and were better than me.
It was a bowl of soup, a bowl of soup, a bowl of soup for the strummy.
Oh. And,
but somebody told me if you learn 10 chords, you can play all the Maranatha
That's
music.
That's really true. 10 is probably more than you need. But anyways, yeah. I was figuring it out. I was terrible. Oh, rhythm. I can't even.
No,
I was
a bowl of soup was so bad.
No one taught me a bowl of soup.
How could you be bad at rhythm when you play piano?
Oh, I wasn't bad at rhythm. I just didn't know how to apply it to the guitar.
Guitar, yeah.
Because I was learning classical guitar,
right.
Which is not what I was doing in this small
group. Yeah, worship is not classical.
No. So I remember playing, and I remember every time I'd go, I'd just feel this sense of like, I'm so embarrassed of myself. You know, like I'm a professional musician and this is an embarrassment. And I remember one evening in the small group opening my eyes and looking around, just feeling that weight. And everybody was there with their eyes closed and their hands up. And I will never forget the Lord just speaking to me in that moment and saying, this is what worship is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with how well you play or how well you sing. You just have to show up and give me the glory and give me the praise and I will do something. This is what worship is. And it really changed me.
Yeah.
So, you know, as the years went on and I was singing, people started coming up to me and saying things like, wow, when you sing or the Lord spoke to me or what would you sing here? Would you sing there? I've had a lot of really incredible experiences. And I just can't let go of that. This is what worship is. You know, I think
so good.
In my childhood playing classical music, you know, I for sure was, you know, kind of big in myself and prideful. And I see now as hurtful as it was to be told by my piano teacher that I wasn't going to be good enough. I can see how the Lord used it to kind of say, this really isn't about you at all.
Yeah.
And I need you to know that so that you can minister to my people. You're just the vessel.
Yes, yes. And what's so, so good about that for all of us to just take that lesson that the enemy gets in there and the instructor, the teacher who said, oh, you're never going to be good enough at piano, the boyfriend, you're not good enough to be my girlfriend. And then you are there with this up with, I'm not good enough to play the guitar. And that's where the enemy, the same old trick as Eden. And the Lord comes and says, who told you you were bare, you were inadequate, you were naked in this area? Like, this is what I'm leading you to, because this is worship. And that just dissolves all of the accusations of humans.
And yet, what you said, too, about the pride, because I had a friend, and she was an incredible worship leader. And one Sunday, I remember she just ripped. Like, her voice, I was like, I had no idea that it was that fantastic. I mean, she just did all these things. And I caught her afterwards and she was crying. And I said, what's going on? She's like, Joni showed up to worship, which is her name. And I said, what do you mean? You were incredible. She's like, no, there's a part of worship where you have to die. And you know that so that others can worship. And she said, I didn't do that today. And she said, and I felt it in my spirit, and it was such a forever lesson to me because there is this incredible balance between humility and confidence in the Lord. And worship leader, either you got it or you don't. And I think that you've got that.
There's a tension. This is probably true for all of us.
Yes.
No matter what we're in, like you and I were talking about that just right before we went on air. But there's a tension when you're walking with the Lord. And it is, as you said, I think well said, but that I'm confident in who the Lord has made me to be and or perhaps what the Lord has called me to do. And also, I know this isn't about me, but I do find I still struggle with that.
Yes.
You know, that's the lie the enemy constantly comes back to me with is just like, you're not good enough. And then I have to kind of stop and be like, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I may not be good enough, but that's not.
No,
that's
this
irrelevant.
Is all about obedience.
Apparently, that's not the point.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not the point.
Because then the excellency of the power of God comes through.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we bring our best. But even our best, the Lord says, our righteousness, it's like filthy rags, right?
Yeah.
So we have to just bring it to him and allow him to do with it what
he wants. What did you major in college?
I did major in music.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
I did major in music. Well, listen, so I didn't finish my degree because when we originally met, I had, you know, I was really struggling in my walk with the Lord. So I left Cal State Fullerton. I had another piano professor who said, you know, you're a great communicator. And I was like, you know, meanwhile, I'm in my piano lesson, like, thank you. He started telling me about like the communications department. I was really confused. That one took a little while for me to figure out. He might be telling me I'm in the wrong spot. But that really hurt me. So I left and I just went to Fullerton Junior College for a while to just kind of figure things out. And at the time I was like, I'm never doing music again. I am totally done. And that's right around the time that the Lord started really, you know, raising me up. And I started playing guitar and I, you know, came back to music after a while, really felt like the Lord wanted me to do it. And just had this crazy experience of, you know, professors in Fullerton College being like, you know, I just wrote some music. I'd love for you to record it. And I was like, well, no, you don't. I'm not good enough. I don't think wow. you get it. Or like, wow. you know, you have to do the juries yes. at the end of the classical yes. music. I would always be, you know, getting top marks in the juries and they'd want me to perform for the rest of my class. I mean, it was just bizarre. Well, at the end of that, I had an opportunity to either go back into Cal State Fullerton or kind of move on. I was only about a year away from my degree. I really felt like the Lord was calling me. Now, I missed one part of the story. I had already gone to Poland one time.
Oh, yes.
So in this small group, yes. one day years earlier, Madeline Ferguson, one of the ladies who was running the group, she said, you know, I've got the prayer list of all the missionaries, Calvary Costa Mesa, and we're going to pray for them. And we kind of said, I mean, do you know any of these people? She said, well, no. Here, we just got a list. We're going to pray for them, which we thought was the weirdest thing. But as you know, when you start just kind of in the beginning, you're just kind of reading their requests and like, yeah. please, Lord, do this. But after a while, you get to know them, right? So she came home one day and said, you know, we should email them. So we started emailing them. And I developed a friendship with Kurt and Kendall Kula, who were serving in Poland at the time. I was also, by this time, Jeff and Teresa Geip had taken over the college kind of in career ministry. So I'd befriended them.
They're the most awesome couple.
They're wonderful.
Well, Curtin.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, they're all very dear
saying?
Friends of ours.
Yes.
So Jeff was planning a mission trip short term to Curtin Kendall in Poland. And I had, of course, knew Curtin Kendall because we've been praying for them. And I messaged them one day via email and said, you know, I know I'm going on this short term mission, but I just feel like the Lord's doing something maybe different with me than the whole team. But I don't really, like, I'm not sure what that means. And they said, well, just come and stay for a while. So I bought a one-way ticket at 24, I think. I think I was 24. One-way ticket
That's
to
awesome.
Poland.
I love it.
Lived with them for a while. A missionary was on furlough, stayed in her place for a while. I ended up staying for about 3 months, had to come back. My best friend was getting married. And I felt called while I was there. Mm. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we went to the castle in Austria for the missions conference at the end of that summer. And I briefly met you.
That's why you look so familiar when I was like, I've met her before.
Yeah. Briefly. I mean, we didn't talk a whole lot, but we have a lot of mutual friends.
Yes.
And I really felt called. I didn't tell Curtin Kendall this because I was like, the Lord spoke to me, but I'm not going to say anything to you because everybody and their brother had said, I feel called and I'm coming back next week and never came. Mm-hmm. Right. So 2 years went by and that was when I came back and I was like, I just got to finish up this college thing. What am I going to do? Ended up just getting my AA and was really praying about, do I need to stay one extra year? And I just couldn't do it. I'd been waiting to sell my car and then ended up strangely selling it to my cousin. After years of waiting and praying, I'm like, my cousin? I just was ready to go. And so I moved back to Poland. Again, I'm really not great at the dates and the years, but I was somewhere around 26-ish mm-hmm. when I moved back. And over the course of 4 years, I lived there. And originally when I went, they had worship leaders at their church. So they were meeting. They had a very small church. They were meeting in a school. I want to say maybe there was 30 people. I don't quite remember. And when I'd gone before, you know, I'd met some of these young people who'd just come to the Lord. But, you know, Poland is predominantly Catholic country. And so the idea of, you know, maybe what we call contemporary worship was not really something that was there. They had, as so many of the missionaries still do, they had just like some translated of the early, early Maranatha songs. And so they invited me to come. And when I came back, the idea was that I was going to be working with these worship leaders and just kind of discipling them a little bit, kind of helping them out a little bit. They were great musicians, great singers. They didn't need my help musically, but just kind of really, what does God say about worship? Mm, sharing my experiences, exactly. Yes. What does that look like in the church? And that's what I did for a number of years. It didn't go the way we thought it would, but...
It's not just the
Lord.
Does
it ever? Yes.
No, does it ever?
No, Kendall told me that Polish was the hardest language she had, and she's smart.
I was thinking yes. the same
and
thing.
And she's smart
go?
As a whip. I mean, she was a school teacher for years. Gorgeous school teacher.
Yes.
But, and she had picked up Hungarian, which is supposed to be one of the most difficult languages. And yet, I know she struggled with Polish. So I want to know your experience.
Polish was very hard, I would say. I would also say that I've always loved language and had an ear for languages.
You know, musician, right?
Yeah.
They have the ears to pick up languages. Plus, I think because you're singing the songs
mm-hmm.
in
yes.
Polish,
yes.
you tend to pick it up. Like, I know so many people learned English by singing the songs
yeah.
on the radio.
So, I mean, you know... This is me discussing how I feel I did, right? Like, I definitely yeah. got some encouragement that I was doing pretty well. What it sounded like on the other end, I don't know. I will also say something that I felt has really worked for me or did work for me was I was completely willing to just talk to anybody and anyone with probably broken words and sentences. I was willing to go anywhere. I have so many stories of getting myself stuck somewhere.
Just one.
Because I was convinced.
Just one story.
I was convinced. So one day I was walking from downtown area to a very large grocery store. This is a brand new thing. Previously, you would go to a small market. You would tell them a list of what you wanted and they would go get it for you. But a new grocery store had opened up on the outskirts of town. I'd only been there, this is my first time, for maybe a few weeks. I spoke very little Polish, but I was extremely confident in my, probably overly confident in my sense of direction. I thought I'm just going to get out there and I know how to say, can you help me? I think the store was called Hipernova. Can you help me find this place? I knew how to ask directions. And so I headed down there. And at some point, I don't know how, because in my mind, it was just a straight shot down the main road. But halfway down, I was so confused. So I was asking people in Polish, can you help me find Hipernova? And the first couple people were confused. I don't know by my accent, language, I'm not sure what. And then they kind of gave me some directions. More and more, this was happening as I was asking people the directions. People were looking more and more confused. And of course, I'm thinking it's my accent. So I'm like, Hipernova, Hipernova, Hipernova. But the problem, it turns out, is I had taken the right side of the Y instead of the left. And I was so far away, there was no possibility of explaining to me directionally where I was until I ended up on the outskirts of town. In a little gas station, and someone figured out, we can call someone to help you. But I'd only had a few weeks of language at that point, but I do think that that's pretty much the epitome of, like, to me, a foreign country and, like, maybe a handful of words is an adventure. Let's go. We will figure it out.
Now, were you lonely at all?
Yes.
Because that is something that I hear, mm-hmm. From a lot of our missionaries, is the loneliness, especially as a single woman and you're with a married couple who has... adorable children, brilliant, adorable children. But, just you're single and you're staying in this house and you've got this kind of this mm-hmm. lack of communication.
Mm-hmm. The Kulus were wonderful. They totally included me in their family. And I was living in my own flat
right.
for part of the time. But yeah, I definitely felt lonely. There's something that happens when you go overseas. And this is probably true even here in the States when you move to a new city or a new neighborhood where... things aren't quite familiar yet. They're getting familiar.
It's a different sort of exhaustion where everything has to be figured out.
Yeah, everything
or
is
a new decision or
and
calculated.
It's absolutely. Yeah. And at some point, the novelty of it wears off a little bit. I do remember feeling lonely for sure. But, the Lord got me through it. The Lord and my journals got me through it. And I did have a lot of really wonderful people I was serving with. So I did have a lot of great.
Now, the journals, because we're almost done with this episode. I want to do another one, both Robin and I do. But one of the things I think is that when you first kind of begin to tap into writing.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I would say. But, I didn't know that I was a writer, I think. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. I remember now looking back that I can see seeds that the Lord was planting, but I didn't know it. No, but that definitely was the start of it. I've been a journaler for years.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me and Robin too. And we found this, she and Robin and I get excited every time we have a woman worth knowing and we're like, she had a journal. I mean, we're just like, yes.
Tell me about it.
Yes. All right. So Mary, thank you so much for this first episode. This has been an episode with Mary Perro, who is one of our hosts here on Women Worth Knowing. And her testimony continues next week.
Come back.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.